Come on, God is good. God is good. God is good. I hope you came hungry tonight. I hope you came ready to hear from God tonight, because this is so good. I mean, I'm already excited, and I haven't even preached yet, and man, I'm just so good. It's so good. It's so good. God is good. Amen. But watch this. You know, it's like that last song that we sang. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. But there's a two-sided way to look at that song. It's kind of like, I'm not desperate for him because I already have him.
Right.
That's in the spirit. But in my flesh, I need him. Right? I need him. I'm lost with, well, I have him. I'm not lost because I don't have him. I know my utter dependence upon him. Right? And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. 1 Peter and chapter 3. Now, ladies, don't get too upset. But we're going to start out verse 1. It says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband. We could just preach right there. No, we're not going to. Listen to this. That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Now look at that. I want to just stop right there for a minute. If this was like, well, if you act right, then he could be won. And there is a side to that that is true, but it's not acting right by your own strength.
That's right.
It's not acting right by who you are in the flesh.
That's right.
It's acting right by who Jesus made you in the spirit. And your identification with who you are in Christ. Look at this verse 2. It says, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of fine apparel. Rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is the precious in the sight of God. So again, that verse 4, but rather let it be of the hidden person of the heart. King James says hidden man, but hidden person. So what this says is there's somebody living in you. Right? He's talking to them. He said, don't be the outer adornment. In other words, don't try to do it in your own self. You know, I mean, man, if I just do this, he'll love me. If I just do that, they'll like me. If I just do this, I'll be accepted and all that. He said, no, that's the wrong perspective. The perspective that I want you to have is the hidden man or hidden person in your heart. Why? Because that's where God lives. That's where God lives. And it's not just that God lives there. He has made it possible for us to access His divine attributes. You mean I can have the love of God? Absolutely. Do you think that I could even have the power of God? Absolutely. Do you think I could have the wisdom of God in this thing? Absolutely. If you look at the hidden person. And the hidden person, here's the deal, is that Jesus came and made us brand new in the spirit. And that's the hidden part of the heart. Our job is to get that hidden part to the outside where it can shine. Where it can flourish, where it can, like, you know, they say, join the Marines, be all that you can be. What I'm saying is you've been joined to Christ, which gives you the potential to be how God has designed you to be. Right? Even in the husband and wife situation, listen, God puts you together for purpose, and whether you feel it or not, whether you even want to do it or not, you are made for each other, and you're made to complement one another, and God has equipped you to be the half that the other person doesn't have. But it's not by your effort, right? It's by His Spirit residing on the inside of you. We have to become identified with the new man that's living on the inside of us. That's so good. Now, let me say that again. We have to be identifying with new man.
That's right.
Right. In today's culture, and it's just weird to me. I'm too old for it. But it's just like, well, I identify as this. Or I identify as that. And some of it is just really out there. But Christians aren't doing enough of I identify with Jesus.
Amen.
My identity is in Jesus. And that's not just your outer conduct, right? That's not just your ability to live a good moral life, but I identify with the fact that the risen Lord is living in me. And one of the things that we talk about in baptism is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We need to see ourselves. When He died, I died. When He was buried, I was buried. But when He was raised, I was raised. So the life that I'm now living in the flesh, I'm not living on my own. I'm living in the resurrected power of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's verses that say that same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in your mortal body.
Amen.
See, that's the hidden man of the heart. Well, how come I don't feel it? Feeling has nothing to do with it. Feeling has zero to do with it. What accesses that is faith. In other words, Lord, if you said I have access to your wisdom, then I'm going to just act like I have access to your wisdom. If you told me to love that husband that you gave me, right? If you told me to be submissive to that husband, or, you know, it's not just for wives. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, he said, be ye submitted one to another. How does that work? Here's what we're supposed to do. If you and I are studying the Word of God and we're coming together for the purpose of fulfilling the church's destiny, then if God gives you something and I don't like it, but it's true to the Word, I need to submit to that.
Yeah.
See, well, how do I do that? By my will, by just gritting? No. By Lord, I'm coming into your Spirit right now. Because your Spirit dwells on the inside of me. I've got the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of me. And that's not just for tongues anymore.
Amen. That's right.
Tongues is awesome. I pray in the Spirit all the time. And I love praying in the Spirit. But that's one part of it. But another application is that's how He speaks to us. He speaks to us through His Spirit. And usually that's communicated with our thought life. But we have to recognize and begin to filter and begin to expect that He's going to give us thoughts that are not our own. But they're coming from the hidden man of the heart. Did you know, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says that we're spirit, soul, and body. And we don't have any problem with the soul part from our standpoint of understanding. It's our mind, our will, and our emotions. Yeah, I got that. And our body, our flesh, that's kind of out there. You know, when I do this, it hurts, right? I mean, but our spirit, what's our spirit? Our spirit is the real us.
Amen.
You are a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body.
Amen.
But we have to become spirit conscious. And by that, I'm talking about, you know, you don't have to go out into the woo-woos, you know. But what you have to get up in the morning and say, I'm a spirit. God speaks to me through my spirit. And I'm not going to let my spirit side of me be put under a bushel.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not going to hide that by how I feel.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hide that by what others say about me. I'm going to get into the Word and find out what the Word says about who I am. And then I'm going to start acting like what He said is true. See, we need to not adorn ourselves with an outer appearance. Boy, if I just do this right, if I just comb my hair right, if I just have this right, if I just use the right inflection, then people will think I'm a really good speaker. There's some truth and there's some value in some of that. But the reality is, I don't want to be a good speaker to communicate with your soul. I want to be anointed of the Holy Spirit. So that through His heart, to my heart, to your heart,
right,
there's something supernatural that can be transferred.
That's right.
Are you with me? But that's not just for the preacher.
No.
That's for all of us.
Yeah.
And He says here, let it be of the hidden person of the heart. Now there's the outer person and there's the inner person. Now watch this. The outer person was infected by our father Adam. Right? We all, you could trace your DNA, and they've actually done this, and I'm not real intelligent on it, but they've done it to where they can trace the DNA all the way back to two people. So that's why racism is so stupid. Right? And watch this. And in all of our races, right? In all of us, our great, 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 way back, we had one that was a drunken sailor. That was Noah. Right? We all go back to Noah. He's the father. We're a drunken sailor, right? And then we go further than that. That goes way back to Adam, who was a sinner. And our sin, where we started and where we got our sin and where sin is in our DNA, is from Adam. That's the outer man. That's you without Jesus.
Yeah.
What do sinners do? They sin. Why? Because it's in their DNA. Right?
Yeah.
But watch this. When I became born again.
That's right.
See, I was born in Adam the first time.
Yeah.
When I was born from my mother, Adam's DNA was in me. Right?
Yeah.
And Adam's DNA, I was born into that. But when I became born again, I was born into Jesus' DNA. Are you with me? So the hidden man of the heart is out of the DNA that came with the new birth. That's so good. So what does that mean to me? That means a couple of things. It means that it doesn't matter if I've been saved a minute or 40 years. That same DNA is in me. So let's look at a couple of things. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you guys are familiar with this, but don't get too familiar with anything in the Word. Let me say that again. Don't get too familiar with anything in the Word. You probably are not as unholy as I am, but there are times where you hear a message and you think, oh, I've heard that before. I'm convinced that if that's my attitude, then I've never really heard the message.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you hear the Word of God, it changes you from the inside out. I mean, when you really hear and understand and perceive, and there's life in that. So when you gotta, and sometimes you have to slap your flesh. In other words, you have to pinch yourself. You have to slap yourself and say, no, flesh, you're not gonna dominate this conversation right now. My spirit man is alive unto God, and the word of God is being spoken. And if the word of God is being spoken, I'm hungry for what's in the word of God.
Yeah,
see what I'm saying? I'll just tell you this, that when we're going to Bible school, and classes were from 8 in the morning till noon, right? And then went for lunch, and then at 4 o'clock I was at work. And I worked from 4 o'clock to midnight. So that was my schedule, right? So about 10:30, 11 in the morning, my eyes are going... And there were classes I was pinching myself, slapping myself. Why? Because I didn't want to miss one word of what God was trying to say.
Yeah.
Right? And that's kind of the deal. Now look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Glory to God. Let's start in verse 13. It's Paul's talking. He said, if we're beside ourselves, it's for God. But if we're sound mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died.
Yeah.
See, again, our identification with that hidden man says that if Jesus died, I died in Jesus.
Yeah.
So you're a dead man walking. Really, literally, you're a dead man walking. But too often we resurrect the old man. And what Peter was talking about to the wives is, don't resurrect that guy or that woman. Live in the newness that's coming. Watch this. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. There's so much in that that I could unpack, but let me just say it this way. It's like I was living for myself before I got saved, and that didn't produce the things that I really wanted. When I died with him, then I should wake up out of that grave when I was resurrected with the whole purpose of living for him. Why? Because living for him brings life. Living for me brings death. So if I'm going to be living out of the new man and that new heart that he's given to me, my life is going to be for him. Right? Now, again, I could go a long ways into that, but I'll get bogged down. Verse 16. Therefore, from now on, this is so cool, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we no longer know him. Thus know him. And watch this. In other words, they're saying, we knew Jesus. We walked with Jesus. And this is Paul writing, so Jesus appeared to me. So I saw him in his resurrected body. I saw him, so I knew him after the flesh. But now we don't know him after the flesh. In fact, when I pray, I don't see Jesus come into the room every time I pray. I don't feel that. I don't sense that. I've never had a vision of Jesus. I've never really had a dream where his face, I've never had any of that, right? But that doesn't matter. I don't know him after the flesh, but I know him after the Spirit. But look at this again. He said, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. No one. No one. What does that mean? That's even saying, I don't regard myself according to the flesh. Why? Because I see myself with the identification of who I am in Christ. What does that mean? How does that work out in your life? How many of have thoughts of everything you've ever done wrong?
Yeah.
All right. Of your failures, of your incompleteness, of I could have done this and I should have done that and I would have done that. And the reality is, when you're looking at that, you're looking at yourself in the flesh. Because in the spirit, The moment you became born again, all of that went away. And so the life that I'm living now through the hidden man in the heart, I'm not living tied to my past. I'm living identified with the life of Jesus and what that produces. Oftentimes we're trying to get from God what He's already produced because we're trying to live out of our fleshly nature rather than accepting that we've been made new on the inside. Yeah. Right? Really, on the inside, it's not that, listen, I'm just trying to get peace. I'm trying to get peace. I'm trying to get peace. That's your flesh trying to grasp onto something that Jesus has already produced for you. So when anxiety comes, you go, devil, that's not me. That's not mine. That doesn't belong to me. Because in Jesus, I have peace. And I'm in Jesus, and I'm not living out of my old customs. I'm not living out of my old DNA. I'm not living out of the fact that my mom was this, and my dad was this, and my grandpa had this. I'm living out of my new Father. And in my new Father, I have peace. I have joy. I have life. Come on. But you have to put that on. And you have to rather be adorned with who you were in the flesh. I'm no longer regarding myself that way. I'm now looking at myself through the lens of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Are you listening to me? Is this difficult? Well, sometimes. But the results are not difficult. In other words, I can continue to look at myself and you after the flesh. And what that's going to bring is resentment, frustration. But when I say, listen, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. I believe the best for you. I believe in the potential that you have because God has created you for purpose. Watch this. How can I love that old husband that's just no good? He's lazy. He's not doing anything for me. He's sick all the time. You're looking at him after the flesh. Rather than saying, God, he's fearfully and wonderfully made. You have a purpose for him. If they're not born again, Lord, I'm going to live my life out of who you are and give them an opportunity to see that. And my prayer is, my desire is that they would one day see themselves in you like I've seen myself in you. Yeah, right? Come on. The hidden man of the heart. All right, let's go on. Therefore what? Therefore, because we don't look at each other through the old man anymore or according to the flesh, according to what you've accomplished, according to what your color is, according to what your sex is, according to, you know, your background or your attitudes or your culture. We don't look at anybody that way anymore. Yeah. Right? Therefore, because if anyone is in Christ, anyone, yeah. If anyone is in Christ, so if you have a problem with somebody because of their political views, or if you have a problem with somebody because of that, there's a trigger that's pointed at, you know, and it just stirs up that you're looking at them in the flesh. But if you begin to understand, watch this, that if I'm in Christ, something changed. Something changed. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's not just a slogan. That's not just a verse that you can quote. But when you begin to identify with this, You're beginning to identify with that hidden person of the heart. And when you identify with that hidden part, then Jesus can live through you. You can become an example of what God can do through a recreated being.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
There's so many good translations of this. But one of translation is that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. A species that never existed before. See, when you got born again, it wasn't just, well, I'm on my way to heaven. And that's good enough, right? My sins are forgiven. That's awesome. But it's that the life of God came on the inside of me. Jesus said, he said, anybody that believes in me, I'll give eternal life. See, that eternal life is in the hidden man of your heart. When you die, if I died tonight, I'm not going to. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. If I died tonight, it would just be that my body was on the ground. My spirit and my soul wouldn't be here. I'd be in heaven with Jesus, right? So, watch this. I need to begin to recognize that. Let's go to a few verses and y'all doing all right?
Yeah.
Let's go to Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel and chapter 11. This is really cool. You know, Ezekiel's a prophet and he's prophesying over the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel's not doing good. They're in covenant with God, but they're breaking the covenant all the time. All the time. And before you get too hard on them, if we're just living out of our flesh, we're breaking it all the time. Right? But we're not living out of our flesh. Amen, amen, amen. Ezekiel chapter 11. And let's go to verse 19. And this is God speaking. Well, let's back up just verse 17. I'm messing with the guys back there. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples. Did you know when you got born again, the Holy Spirit is the one that drew you to himself?
That's right.
And who did he draw you from? He drew you out of the world.
Right.
So God was talking about you. I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you've been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. We're seeing that happen right now. And they will go there and they will take away all the detestable things and all the abominations from there. And this is literal. This is God talking about the land of Israel, but I also think he's talking about you and me and our hearts. Right? If I had pride before, God wants to take that out. But he's not going to take it out by me trying to pray enough, me trying to fast enough. It's by the spirit thing that he's going to talk about in here in just a minute. Verse 19. Then I will give them one heart. One heart. I will put a new spirit within them and take out the stony heart of flesh. Take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. What's he saying? He's saying the heart that was tied to Adam is one that's tied to sin. But when Jesus came, and that's when this was ratified. When Jesus came, he made us brand new on the inside. He gave us a new spirit, a new man on the inside, something that never existed before. But in that new man, watch this, he gave us his heart. He gave us his heart. Oftentimes we're going, oh, I just need to hear from God. I need a touch from God. Where's Brother Joe Spiritual going to be this weekend? Because I need to drive there to... And I get it, man. I've been to revival meetings, and when God's moving, you know, it's nice to be in that atmosphere. But I don't really need to go to a meeting to be in the presence of God. What I need to do is be more cognizant of the new man on the inside of me and the connection with the Spirit of God that I have. Right? Because He's put in me a new heart. Go to chapter 36, Ezekiel 36. Glory, glory, glory. And let's look at verse 26. Ezekiel 36, 26. And listen to this. He's saying it again, but he's saying it a little bit different. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take out the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. What's he saying? He's saying, look in that stony heart that could not communicate with me, that had no way of being in my presence because of the sin that would associate. I'm going to take that out and give you a brand new heart. I'm going to give you a heart transplant. But the heart transplant isn't going to be one just of your natural flesh. You're going to now be married to me. I'm going to make you one flesh with me. So incredible. And there's some in the room, and I know others that have gone through losing a spouse, and it's almost surreal from the standpoint that it's like part of me is gone. And there's a real sense of that part of me is, I've just lost that connection. Why? Because it's one spirit, one heart. But watch this. When Jesus died on the cross and we became identified with Him through the new birth, we became one heart. That's why we're called, and the term, the bride of Christ, that's where that all comes. He's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle, right? That's a spiritual relationship out of that new heart, that new man. I've got a new man, and I need to start living my life out of that. I need to wake up in the morning rather than go, oh, God, that leg's not working as well as it used to, or that, and you know, get on Facebook and what did they say? Right? And oh my God, that she said that, he said that. And what we're doing is we're looking at people after the flesh, and we're living our lives out of the flesh rather than waking up and saying, good morning, God. I thank you that you're dwelling with me and in me. I thank you, Lord, that as I'm sitting here or standing here or kneeling here, that I'm right in your presence. And I'm going to live out of who you have made me to be rather than who the world has tried to tell me that I am. I'm aware, Lord, that you put into me a new heart. You put into me a clean heart. You put into me the ability to rule and reign with you. Go to chapter 18, and while you're turning there, I was listening to a fellow, and he had a vision of the Lord and this whole identification thing of the new man. And when he saw himself in his death, burial, and then the resurrection, he saw himself differently. This is who he was before in the death on the cross, sinner, and in the burial. But when he got to the resurrection, it was not the same man that it was in the grave. Right? And that's us. And this is what he said to him. He said to him, yeah, you and I are going to rule and reign forever. You and I are going to rule and reign forever. When you got born again, you may not know it, but He made you a king and a priest unto Him. And you're going to rule and reign with Him forever and ever and ever. But that's all part of the new man. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 31. Cast away all the transgression which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. What I wanted to point out here is that Jesus paid the price. And watch this. Jesus, this is so cool. Jesus is God identifying with us. So when he identified with us, he took all the transgressions on himself. And when he took all the transgressions on himself, watch this, he paid the price for every sin so that we could turn and walk into the new life that's been produced in him. Isn't that good? That's good. We need to live out of the new man, the hidden man of the heart. But Jesus has paid the price so that you're able to do that. You know, it's amazing how fast people can move when their phones start to ring. I've done the same thing. You want to throw the phone. But anyway, it's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. This is a prayer that Paul is praying, but I want you to just really hone in on this for a minute and begin to think about it in the light of what we've been talking about. In Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to start verse 14. For this reason, I now bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Think about that just for a minute. Just imagine that for a minute. Paul said, and everything that he wrote in Ephesians, he's talking about that we're the redeemed, that we're the beloved, that God, even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and that we're saved by faith, right? All of that thing came to this point. And he said, for this reason, and because of everything that I've said, I'm on my knees right now before God. Think about that. On his face, on his knees before God. And he says this, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory. Watch this. What's the glory of a thing? The glory of the thing is everything that's produced in the thing. In other words, it's the magnificent, it's the energy, it's everything that's arranged in the thing is the glory of the thing. It's like the glory of those spotlights or the light that's emanating down. It's the energy that's coming down. So we say the glory of God, we're talking about who God is, but not only who God is being poured out to us. It's his presence, it's his glory, it's his very existence in our midst. Watch this. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Not your glory, his glory. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. How many is, I need strength. Bless God, I need strength. I'm so weak, I can't do this. I need strength. And we're looking about him coming and giving us a blood transfusion or something, right? But we're looking, watch this, oftentimes we're looking from the outside to come to the inside. Oh God, just send me somebody. Send me a prayer warrior. You know, have sister so-and-so called. She's really anointed to pray. And I'm all for that. And I love it when God puts on my heart to call somebody and it's just a supernatural exchange that happens. I love that. But listen to what he says, that he grants you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. Strength, what's that? That's power. That's power. That's not only power, but it's ability. That he would strengthen you with might through his spirit. In the inner man. in the inner man. In chapter 1, he says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would become enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of your calling. What's he saying? I want your spirit to become alive and you to become aware of who you are in the spirit. Because when you become aware of who you are in the spirit, strength is already there, joy is already there, peace is already there, healing is already there, prosperity is already there. Everything that you have need of that he's provided has to come from the inside out and not the outside in. That's so good. That's so good. Why is that so good? It's, I need you. We need one another. Don't get me wrong. But I don't need you to get me something because Jesus has already gotten it for me. You can be a participant in it, and an agreement in prayer. All those things are wonderful. But here's the reality, and the true maturity comes when I know that I know that I know that he's made me new on the inside. And that I have direct access with him. And God, I'm not praying for strength from the standpoint of trying to get you to do something. I'm coming from the place of I need the revelation of what you've done because the strength has already been provided. Watch this again. The riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. I love that. The Holy Spirit is living in you. The Holy Spirit is living on the inside of me. Instead of going, oh God, I don't know what to do. We ought to wake up and say, wait, Holy Spirit, you're living on the inside of me. I'm just going to walk with you and you show me what to do. I'm asking you for wisdom. And you said if I asked for wisdom, you wouldn't withhold it, but you'd give it liberally. But you got to ask in faith. In other words, you have to believe that the work that Jesus did actually happened. And it didn't just happen for me, or it didn't just happen for Donnie or Janine or for, you know, it happened for me. Paul again, he said, I'm praying on my knees, I'm praying that you would get a revelation, an understanding of this, that Jesus has paid the price for you, and in the new man, all the strength that you need comes from there. Even when our outer man is going through stuff, like grief, like pain, like dealing with idiots, Right? Even with all that, that's the outer man. Amen. We need to go to the inner man. Because the inner man will deal with us and teach us how to get to live out the peace in our life rather than the turmoil. He'll bring us to the place where he'll change our hearts, change our thinking, change our minds to get us into the right spirit of our minds. So it's like waking up every morning and beginning to talk to yourself about who you are in Christ. You know, there's scriptures like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. We've got to get a hold of the fact that it's not, I can do all things. I can't do anything out of my flesh that was birthed in Adam. But I'm identified with Christ now. And the hidden man of that heart's living on in the inside of me. And when he speaks to me to do something, all I've got to do is obey. And he'll be the power and the strength and the ability to get it done. You see, faith is not that difficult. And you don't need a lot of it to get things done. But if your faith is based on the old man, then you're going to be the one that's pulling the sled. When Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if it's tough and it's heavy, it's not his yoke. Oh, I'm having such a tough time. Get, come on, stop. Slap yourself. I need to get yoked back up with Jesus. And many of you know this. And again, I'm not a farmer, not a rancher, but I've read, okay? What they did with oxen is they had the yoke, and you've seen the yokes if you watch any Westerns or whatever, but they have the yoke of oxen, and they have two oxen pulling a wagon or pulling a plow, whatever, and they've got this wooden thing that goes over the neck of the animals, right? That's the yoke. But what they did is they put an older oxen with a younger oxen. An old strong ox, you know, and a younger one. And the reality is that the old ox was doing most of the pulling and the working. But they were hooked together so that the younger ox could learn to become the older one. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. I'll carry you. I'll do the plowing. I'll get you from there to here. I'll take you where you need to go. I'll get you through the grief. I'll get you through the pain. I'll get you. But if you fall back to the old man's way of thinking, oh God, I need this. I need that. I need. No. He's already met the needs that you have. But you've got to look at the new man that's on the inside. You may not feel it. Heavens, no. That's why you need a spirit of revelation. But Lord, I just thank you right now that I can be strengthened through your spirit in the inner man. I thank you, Lord, that I have the ability to put on the new man. And out of that new man, I can love people like you love them. I can speak to their hearts like you would speak to their hearts. I can do all things, Lord. I can do all things because Christ dwells in me. And again, one of my favorite verses. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Think about this. Now think about this from identifying. There's the old man. I'm not going to identify with him. I'm going to identify with the new man. Paul saying, I am crucified with Christ. I identify with Christ. I'm crucified with the Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. I'm going on living. I have to wake up every day. I have to, you know, eat every day. I have to talk to people every day. I'm going on living.
Amen.
I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ, that hidden man that's in my heart, the one he's living on the inside of me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ that's living in me. And the life that I live by faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. In other words, I believe every word he said. And if he said he's in me and I'm in him, then that's the truth. Jesus prayed some incredible things in John chapter 17, and I've read them over and over and over again. But he said, Lord, the glory that you gave me to fulfill my mission on this earth, I now turn over to them. In other words, if God's called you to do something, don't go around saying, this is so hard. I know people who love Jesus with all their heart, and every day is the worst day of their life. This is so hard. Oh my God. This is so hard. That's the old man. I tell you right now, that's the old man thinking. That's the old man. You're not living out of the new man. Because it might be tough and it might be hard on your body. You might be in a jail cell. You might have had your back whipped. You might have all of those things. But living out of the new man is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And nothing, none of this light, trivial stuff that I'm going through now can separate me from the love of God that's been put inside of my new man. So I'm talking about the hidden man. What we need to do is take the blinders off and ask the Holy Spirit and talk with the Holy Spirit. And begin to believe that the Holy Spirit is talking to you. And just say, Holy Spirit, begin to just show me not only who I am so I can get out of you what I want to get out of you. I want to live out my life living for you so that you can do with me what you want to do, so that I can no longer be worried about what this one says or that one says. Fear of man is gone because I'm living out of you. All right. Can I just 2 more seconds and I'll be done. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Verse 17, you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Again, that's not in your mind or your understanding or your intellectual ability to comprehend. It comes from the strength that comes from God revealing himself through your spirit, that then it'll come up to your mind. But it won't be just I've got that note. It'll be, I can live this out. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the width, the length, the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Just think about that for just a second, that phrase. He said, that you might be filled. He wouldn't have said that if it wasn't possible. I haven't fully been filled with all the fullness of God. But part of the reason that I haven't is because then I haven't been seeking him after the Spirit. I've been seeking him after the flesh. Are you listening? The hidden man of the heart. The new man, the new you. And he wants to supernaturally show you his love. Amen? Amen. Y'all get something tonight? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that this, your word is true. I thank you, Lord, that we are living not by our own devices, but we're living out of your spirit. And I thank you, Lord, that you have put inside of us everything that we need to live for you in abundant splendor, Father. To the praise of your name. Father, everybody that's watching online, I just pray over them right now. If you're suffering in your body, I understand. If you have mental torment because of things that have been done, I understand. But what I'm praying over you is exactly what Paul prayed, that you'd begin to understand and get a revelation of the new man and begin to live out of the new man. And I pray right now, Lord, out of the new man, healing over people's hearts, healing over people's bodies, healing over people's minds, healing over people's finances, Father, just touch them where they are right now. If you'll close your eyes while you're listening, and those in the room, just for a second. Amen. Just for a second, just close your eyes. Say, Father, here I am. I believe Jesus gave me a new heart. I thank you, Lord, that you speak to me, that you love me, that you're revealing yourself to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I just ask for peace to come to every heart. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. God bless you.